You are listening to The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and with Kat Arney.
And this week we are exploring the science of love. You've got to say it like that. We talk about having chemistry with another person. But is the feeling of love really just a chemical reaction? We're joined by Dr. Alex Kogan from Cambridge University and Professor Geert ter Horst from the University Medical Centre in Groningen. So, Alex, to start off, in your scientific opinion, what is love?
Other than a headache, you mean?
I think other than a major headache for many people.
It's a really timeless question. You know, people have been wondering about this particular question probably since the beginning of humanity. I think my best hack at the answer would be to say that it's quite a few motivations, it's emotions, it's behavior. I would say love is some of the best stuff in your life and some of the worst stuff in your life. And so it's got a lot of complexities. When we think about different types of love, we've got everything from friendship love to love of a romantic partner to love of cheesecake. And that makes studying love extremely difficult. And so as this new era of studying love from a neuroscience and genetic perspective starts to really emerge, we're trying to work out all these details and complexities.
So forgetting the kind of love of cheesecake, which I really do understand, when we talk about romantic love, the kind of love that you know, celebrated with Valentine's Day, what do we know so far about what's going on in the brain?
There's been a few studies done on this, and the work is really preliminary, I would say. But what we know is when we look at a romantic partner, for example, as compared to a stranger, we do see more activation in the dopaminergic component of the brain where a lot of the reward aspects are processed. So we know that aspect. But beyond that, I think we're still trying to learn some of the details because of the methodological and design challenges of capturing something as loose and complex as love.
And we hear a lot in the media. The media loves to talk about this hormone called oxytocin.
Yes.
It's the love molecule. It's the cuddle hormone.
Yes.
Really?
I would say not really, to be honest. And so what's interesting about oxytocin is we see it across the animal kingdom. It's pretty ancient. By the best guesses, I think it's been around for at least 700 million years. And so a lot of the work that started out on oxytocin was first in animals. And what they found was when they administered oxytocin to rats, for example, to mothers who hadn't given birth, they started showing a lot of maternal tendencies. And when they restricted oxytocin, even the rats that had given birth started to act a lot more coolly to the children. So that was a big indicator of maybe maternal love. And then with prairie voles, for example, they found that, hey, they have much more of this distribution of the oxytocin receptor network, which seems to be regulating the monogamy, whereas with other species of voles, you don't see the same distribution and you don't see monogamy. So then we move on to the human work, and there's been some evidence that it's linked to things like trust and empathy and love. But in the last couple of years, we're starting to discover the dark side of oxytocin. And we're seeing things like it promotes more jealousy and greed and potentially envy and gloating and so on and so forth. So I think it's a very complex molecule that does a lot. And we're really starting to just learn about it.
And I want to bring in Geert here as well, because love isn't just about these kind of feelings of closeness and trust or even these kind of evil, dark feelings. Love is very pleasurable, and not just sexually pleasurable. Being in love is nice. We know from other studies that chemicals like dopamine are involved in these feelings of pleasure. Does the same apply to love?
I would say it does, but we only have indirect evidence for a role of dopamine in love. When we study the MRI scans that are made, we do see activation of regions that contain a lot of dopamine, but that's only indirect evidence. What you actually would like to do is study the role of dopamine, for example, with PET scanners. And as far as I know, that hasn't been done.
They're not very romantic, being in a PET scanner, though.
No, it's not. And also in being in an MRI scanner is not very romantic. It's a lot of noise.
Do we know about any other chemicals in the brain that might also be involved in these kind of pleasurable feelings of falling in love?
Now, I think there's some idea about a role for serotonin, for example. We know that serotonin is critical for mood. And when you're in a happy mood, when you're in love, I would say serotonin particularly must be involved. But also that is indirect evidence. Because as far as I know, not many studies have been done on the neurochemistry of love, not in humans anyway.
So thanks, Geert. We'll come back to Alex and Geert shortly to find out how love survives after this initial chemical rush.